KTUO television was originally down on Old Boulder Park. I think they call it Veterans Park. And the small building is still there. It started in Muskogee. And Don Woods was there and Jack Morris was there. I remember them as a very small child. And they were in Muskogee and we had it. And the building, I believe, is still standing, was a grocery store on the east side, I think a Weddell's grocery store for a while. But the goal was to always move it to Tulsa, which is where it should have been all along. But they'd had this fight with one of the other families in Muskogee trying to keep them from getting the license. So once they got the approval, they moved it to Tulsa, KTUL for Tulsa, yeah. And there it remained.
So Don Woods came from Muskogee.
He and Jack, and I remember him from when I was a little child.
But then Jack Morris moved to Channel 2.
Mm-hmm. And that happens and that back and forth. And remember his famous end every time was, "Do you know where your children are?" And I remember when I was a child and color TVs were just coming in. And I remember I was sitting there and somebody asked Daddy, "Do you think this color television thing will really catch on?" Because color TV was so much more expensive than a black and white. And I somehow that always stuck with me as a small child when that came up. I thought that was, you know, I didn't understand it, but I kept that in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and you talked about in the 50s, you know, remember when we just sat and stared at the test pattern?
It was the test pattern, and oh, I mean, when it was time for Sky King or Mickey Mouse Club or one of those to come, Howdy Doody, all four of us kids were just glued sitting on the floor in front of a television.
And the tube was round?
Round, mm-hmm.
Round television.
I wish we'd kept some of those old TVs, but Mother would have said, "Now, you just don't keep those, Jimmy. They're just old, you know. Where are you going to keep all that stuff?"
Right. But then, you know, here in Tulsa and Channel 8, they were the primo TV station, because I remember when it was 8's the place.
8's the place, boy.
And they were cooking then. And Don Woods, and I'm trying to think if they were stars.
It was Don Woods, and it was Bob Hauer,
yes.
And it was Barbara Allen was one of them,
yes.
And Chris Lincoln,
yes,
was the other, and Zeb, as we called him, Carl Bartholomew was. I was lucky enough to work for him, and when I came back to Oklahoma, that's who I was lucky enough. Tommy Goodgame was the general manager. He was absolutely a brilliant, brilliant general manager, because one of the things he knew how to do was to leave people alone that were creative. And Carl Bartholomew was just unbelievably, as you well know, you knew Carl very well. He was one of the most creative men. I remember I was working, he told me at the time, he said, "Now, when you go to bed, always keep a pad and a pencil by your bed, because when you wake up in the middle of the night, you might have an idea, but it will flee if you go back to sleep." So, he came in with a little piece of white paper and he said, "I have this idea for this campaign that I want to do." And he said, "I'm going to call it 8's the Place." And he just had we called it a bulge box. 8 was our logo. And then he just put out there "the place." And I thought, well, you know, that, okay, I didn't have that imagination. You had to leave it to a genius like Zeb. And so we called him Uncle Zeb because he also did the children's show in the afternoon, Uncle Zeb's, because we always did a live children's show because we felt it was important to connect with the community. And it was, you would have 20 to 30 children on, and they had Mr. Zing and Tuffy was the first. And then you had Uncle Zeb and Cousin Zach and Cousin Zeke and all of this. And it went on for years and years and years, and they would have cartoons. And then every kid got to be in front of the TV and say hello. So that was, and it went on. All the kids in town loved it. And anyway, he started in with these ideas, and it just ballooned. And we had more fun doing Eight's the Place. I was honored to be there at the ground floor and to be there for some of that creative ability that I was able to soak up from such a brilliant man. He was a very unassuming person, very tall, very handsome. His wife and his family couldn't have been more supportive. And it was just to bootstrap them. Let's get this girl. We'll put her in a bathing suit. We'll have her walking on the beach. We were, by the way, at Keystone. And he said, let's put a portable TV in her hand. They don't even make them anymore. And she was walking on the beach in a yellow bathing suit like this. And there were people running around and all sorts of stuff. And I have shown that to many, many people. And subliminally, we put that TV. Not one person even realized there was television in it, that she was walking down the beach with a TV in her hand. So we had a lot of fun. We had hang gliders. We had boats. We had sailboats. We had Daddy smoking a cigar with and Eight's the Place. My parents, he said to me, you know, I'd really like to paint the bottom of a pool. And I said, well, I'll just go ask Mom and Dad if we can drain their pool and paint it. Well, yes, they said they thought that was just a wonderful idea. So they had Max Abney come, and he freehand painted the bottom of that pool, filled it back up with water. We got all these girls in bikinis and kids in the pool swimming, and had a big tall crane that shot the photos, and Mother and Daddy are sitting in chairs waving as he pulls into the Eight's the Place. And he said, it is so great that you have so much, and people would send us this for an idea. We had people that wanted to parachute out of a plane and form an eight for an Eight's the Place. So they're still online in a lot of places, a lot of those promos, but it was a great deal of fun. We had it was a fantastic. And they're still, they try to revive it every now and again, but not with the success that it had in that original one. So that's, I was lucky enough to be a part of that. And I have to say that Tom Goodgame gave him his head. And Daddy gave, you know, you need something, Zeb, you let me know. We'll do it on an antique car. We'll do it wherever you want. We can get whatever you want. So he had a tremendous amount of support from management, but also from the community.
Oh, yes. It's rare that a TV station can dominate like
well,
that.
it was home-owned, don't forget. We were a local television station because Harold Stewart had sold Channel 2, and he was local at the time, but they sold him to the big companies. So Channel 8, Channel 7, and Channel 9 were all locally owned, and so we could put our fingers on the pulse of the community. It wasn't just Tulsa area. It wasn't just Oklahoma City. It, you know, we put up the largest, at the time, the largest tower in the world when we put up that the tower outside of Coweto at 1,909 feet up. And then the Highway Patrol put their communication systems on it, the police. So we had, it was a multi-use tower. And then, of course, it came down in that big ice storm that we had just... it was too much ice on it, but they rebuilt it.
And something else that... in television we don't have today is those four personalities.
Yeah, that core personality.
You just don't have that today, that there isn't any one big one or anything. But Bob Hauer was like a movie star.
And he,
first of all, he was very good looking.
And he was wonderful man.
Right. And then Barbara Allen, who was very, very
sensational.
Attractive. And she was from Bartlesville,
yeah.
I believe.
Oh, that was Diana Moon.
Oh.
That was from Bartlesville. Beautiful girl.
Yes, yes. Oh, mm-hmm. So they had two of
married
them.
Married to Ken Adams.
That's right.
Boots
right.
Adams' son.
Did Barbara Allen leave and then Diana
yes,
Moon came on?
Yes, and then Diana Moon came in. And don't forget Beth Ringel, who
that's
I'm sure
right.
you remember.
Right.
Yes, and Beth was a beautiful girl. But they all meshed well, and you had such marvelous personalities with all of them, even with Don Woods with his Gusties. You go in all over town, and you see Gusties framed on a wall at restaurants and businesses, and, you know, because they became part of the community. They became part of the heart. And my father, he never went to bed without watching the news at night. He watched it every single night. And he was on the phone as soon as the news was over, talking to the GMs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what? Why was?
Well,
why
if he liked it, if he thought it needed this, if they didn't do enough, he wanted local stories. He wanted them to cover bowling because there were people that bowled. He wanted them to cover this. His famous quote was: Chris Lincoln said to him, "Mr. Lake, how'd you like the quarter horse run?" And he said, "Well, I thought it was good, but it needs to be a little longer." You know, when they did the race over it, anyway, we all, Chris can tell stories about it, but that those were genuine, really wonderful people that were part of this community, all of them, and loved the community and loved everything in it.
It was wonderful, and I came in 76.
It was a golden era.
Yeah, it was a golden era. And so what do you think it spanned, 70-something to 80? What do you think?
I'd say at least, because the TV was going strong. Everybody loved television. Cable was in its very infancy, and everybody loves cable. But honestly, I don't think there's that much more, really. I mean, you pay a lot more. But back then, it was free.
Right.
And I love certain things on TV now, but it's a lot more complicated. Then it was very easy and very interesting time.
Well, those of us who got to enjoy Channel 8 back then,
we were so lucky, weren't we?
Absolutely. No question about it.